Ricky W. from Jersey City.
Hey guys, I'm Ricky and I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict and process addict. Alcoholic drug addict. And thank you, Bridget, for asking me to speak. It's always a like an anxiety provoking experience for me, qualifying, and I try to do service of the quiet variety. I'm a coffee maker and an intergroup delegate, and to be in front of a room full of people always like triggers some anxious apartness in me. So I like to get that out of the way at the start. But even still, thank you, Bridget, for asking me to qualify. I get kind of my clerical stuff out of the way. So I got sober on got sober originally when I was 17 years old, but my current sobriety date is April 16th, 2023. So I have a little over 10 months, almost 11 months sober this time. Quickly about my most recent sobriety attempt. Bridget is actually who she's a dear friend and a good fellow and helped get me into detox. So I know I'm come from a traditional AA background. Traditional, whatever that really means, but in that I attend Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, and that's my one of my primary modalities of recovery. And in that tradition, we're taught to never say no to service. Bridget's one of those people that I just can't say no to when she asked me to be of service. So thanks, Bridget. And she asked me, I'm like kind of coming out of a couple month like bad depressive episode. So I always feel weird about sharing to begin with, and then I feel weird sharing when I don't have like some profound solution to offer an AA meeting or any recovery meeting. And it's a good reminder to myself that I don't speak and I'm not of service to help anyone see the light, or certainly not for any self-aggrandizement, but simply to share my experience. And that experience today is of an alcoholic who's probably suffering and certainly struggling, but sober. And I don't want to drink. And I don't want to smoke crack today. And that's a fucking miracle for me. We're all miracles, but for me, I'm a real alcoholic drug addict. What that looks like to me is that I probably never had a safe relationship to substances. My first conscious drink was at 11 years old. I got absolutely blackout drunk and then proceeded to drink and take drugs really at every opportunity that I had until I was physically unable to. But I do think my whatever problems with alcohol I may have are certainly symptomatic of some larger issue I have with my thinking and with my relationship to the world, to myself, to other people. That definitely predates when I started drinking and taking drugs. And so I had a pretty chaotic childhood. I was born in New York City. I grew up in Los Angeles. I had a very privileged childhood. Privileged in the sense that we had a lot of things. My parents were very materially successful. Had all of these like external markers of success and what should equate to like a happy childhood. And in spite of that, like I always felt a little off, and that something wasn't quite right. As an adult, I think I've come to accept and come to realize that like I had probably a traumatic childhood. I have a mother who's very unwell. She also suffers from alcoholism and has been abstinent for many years now. But there's a lot of rage and a lot of craziness during my childhood, and it created a space that certainly felt unsafe for me as a 5, 6 year old. So a lot of internal angst and unhappiness. I really tried to seek any outlet I could to to escape from whatever internal difficulties I was having. Those early escapes looked like video games, reading, fantasy, any external solution to whatever internal problem I was facing. I pretty quickly realized that like drugs and alcohol were a very effective solution for me. And they were very effective and truly until they weren't. But drugs and alcohol smoothed over that kind of ever persistent resting angst, made me feel a part of and connect with other people in a way that felt difficult and that seemed effortless to others. And it really worked. I think I got to meet a lot of strange people in strange places taking drugs and alcohol, and it like probably saved my life to the extent that I like didn't kill myself, and I made it long enough to get and stay sober. On the journey, like somehow I managed to find Alcoholics Anonymous and other recovery communities that really have made my life better, made my life, though not an easy one right now, certainly one worth living and with people in it who I care about and who care about me, which is a blessing and a miracle for someone to feel so apart from, to like really know that they're like deeply ingrained in the community and to feel valued and important there, is a blessing and one that I'm really grateful for. And truly, like the greatest gift of sobriety for me, the connections that I forged, and those connections really are what help keep me sober and make me want to be sober more than anything. I think it's in maybe in the fourth step in the 12 and 12. It's the line, primary fact that we fail to recognize is we had a complete inability to form a partnership, a meaningful partnership with other human beings, something to that effect that like it, in our cups and sober, that it can be hard for us to connect. I think the program as I work at really emphasizes that like I know I can't stay sober on my own accord, and it really requires a lot of help. I know a lot of people effectively employ God and spirituality as a means of that connection. And for me, it's other people most effectively. And that gets to look like as simple as getting the coffee and shooting the shit with friends, or traditional service and showing up to meetings and making coffee, but whatever it may be, trudging the road with other people. Knowing that I really can't go it alone and that it's much more pleasant with other people. So, touch a little bit more on the qualification end of things, I guess. I believe that I'm alcoholic and a drug addict, and that when I drink, I tend to drink more than I plan to, have some inability to stop drinking. When I'm not drinking, it is absolutely all I think about. And in the pursuit of drinking and taking drugs and acquiring the means to do more drinking and drug taking, I tend to transgress my own morals, do things that I know are wrong, and excuse me. And that feel completely normal. The mental obsession, physical allergy, and spiritual malady. That spiritual malady piece has evolved a lot since I've gotten sober and relapsed and then gotten sober again. I've tried to, so I, like I said, I got sober at 17. At that time, my life was completely unmanageable, even for that of a teenager. So pain pills and benzos and alcohol, and I was forcibly sent to rehab, where I showed up after school one Friday to kind of the nightmare scenario of the family around the kitchen table and telling me that I was going to rehab. And I refused, and was ultimately tackled by a couple of LAPD officers and taken to rehab in handcuffs. I was angry, I was afraid, and I could not picture a life for myself in which I did not have some chemical solution to making it through a day, let alone like living a full life. The idea of like being sober was completely unfathomable. And so my intervention took 8 hours, cuffed, bleeding. It was a nightmare. I, like, put hands on my family in a way that was completely inappropriate and horrifying. Yeah, and I was very resistant. It took me a long time to even wrap my head around the fact that I might have a problem with drugs and alcohol. I ended up staying 93 days in a 28-day program, and by some grace, I managed to stay sober. I stayed sober for about 3.5 years at that point, during which I worked the steps, I did service, I had a sponsor, had a sponsee at the time. I stayed sober, and so I got through my junior and senior years of high school sober in Los Angeles, where it was both a challenging place to stay sober given the culture around substance use, but also like really beautiful place to be a young person getting sober, where sobriety was very in vogue at the time, and there were a lot of young people getting sober. It was great. I think as my life improved, and it has turned out to be really a very dangerous trend for me, that as my life improves, my best thinking is that I no longer need formal recovery. And I drift, and my engagement with my recovery declines, and then ultimately I pick up again. So after 3.5 years, I relapsed, totally blew my life up. I had built a successful business at that time. Rather than going to college, I started a business. Totally blew that up. Smoking crack, crack and meth were my drugs of choice. I don't know if this, discussion of drugs is fine, but yeah, I'm a degenerate crackhead and meth addict, are my main issues. And, actually, I started smoking meth to stop drinking, which made perfect sense, but probably speaks to my own insanity as an alcoholic and drug addict. But yeah, so I blew my life up and wound up in detox again, and got sober in this program called Refuge Recovery very early on, when Noah had first started the Refuge Treatment Center. And it's a non-12-step based approach to recovery from alcoholism, using the Buddhist Eightfold Path, Five Precepts, and Four Noble Truths, really as the primary means of looking at suffering in our relationship to discomfort and pleasure and craving and aversion for those, as a framework for understanding addiction, which really resonated strongly with me. And that there was inventory work and service work, as well as really a very heavy emphasis on meditation as a primary means of self-regulating, which also has really been a very important part of my recovery today and helps really keep me sober. And in Refuge, I stayed sober for about 6.5 years. Really, like, again, like, built a beautiful life for myself, had a lovely partner. Pulled a geographic and moved to the East Coast and started going back to college again, as a mid 20s something. And yeah, my life was good. And then COVID hit, and I was kind of cut off from all of my recovery communities and was very hesitant to engage with online recovery. Probably as an excuse to not engage with recovery at all, but regardless, as evidence has demonstrated that when I drift from my program and I'm not actively engaged, I tend to drink and to take drugs. So in 2020, I relapsed and was really on a very long tear. Things got rather unmanageable rather quickly. I lost the girl, lost the partner, had to withdraw from school and wound back up in detox. And the cycle repeated a couple of times since then. So I've had the fortune of taking 1 year chips, I think this will be my fourth or fifth time now. It's a miracle that I'm back alive, despite seizures and enzo detox and withdrawal. It's a miracle that I'm here. Sorry, pardon me. Might be going off the rails here a little bit with the what it was like piece, but bottom line is that I'm really a real addict and alcoholic. And, it's easy to go through my day-to-day life and forget that or choose to not think about how bad it gets and has gotten. Maybe it's a self-preserving strategy, but often simply it's just an avoidant one. But I devolve into like smoking crack with homeless people is kind of what it looks like for me. Sleeping on the streets, not because I don't have a home, but because that's where people who want to get high like I get high hang out. That's really not the life that I want for myself. I really want to have every opportunity that I can to like meaningfully connect with other human beings, in a way that helps me stay sober and hopefully helps them stay sober. And I only get that if I'm active in my recovery and talking about what's going on in my life. It's hard. I'm not inclined to like share about when it doesn't feel good for me. Not that many of us maybe are, but I kind of learned early that or received the messaging as a small person that there wasn't space for me emotionally, and kind of developed a school set to protect a skill set rather to protect myself in a way that I didn't take up a lot of rooms, so I wouldn't be the center of attention, so I wouldn't get screamed at. That's a character defect as I understand it, just in that maybe it served me as a 5 or 6 year old, but as an adult, like I have like the privilege and pleasure of like expressing myself vulnerably and getting to connect with other people, and that there really is space for me emotionally. Provided that like I'm engaged and willing. My life today, I graduated from school kind of recently now, and I'm unemployed and looking for work. Really been struggling with some major depressive episodes of just a lack of willingness to engage much at all with anything. And it's painful, the job application process and putting myself out there and to face rejection. It sucks. And I know guys all look like adults, and I'm sure you've all done it. I know many of the fellows in my community have done it as well. And I'm by nature of having that community get to ask for help there. Hear about similar experiences from friends and fellows who have gone through it or are going through it currently. And that's been helpful for sure. And it sucks and it's still uncomfortable. To get myself out of this funk. I told Bridget on Sunday at our business meeting that told her that I was in a depressive episode, and her response to that to help me is to ask me to qualify. And I want to fucking shake her because that's the last thing that I want to do is like speak about how I'm feeling. But I think it speaks to the sort of people that I have in my life that like The solution to my selfish and self-centered fear and anxiety and discomfort is to go be of service. And I know that, and I still don't want to do it despite having gotten to experience the relief that service promises. But so I don't always listen to my best thinking, and I have people who can think more clearly for me. When I can't see it myself, I have friends who I'm willing to trust and willing to take their advice when they give it. I think that's all I got. It's enough for me. But yeah, thank you again, Bridget. Thanks.